I look like a Monet painting.
Yeah, that's
exactly. We might even sell you afterwards.
go sell him after. So, do you want to have a conversation around keeping it light, keeping it fun? What's new that's coming in into your life and how you incorporate that?
Yeah. Yeah. In a child. There's so much seriousness around the world right now. Everything's so serious. It's like we've forgotten how to play. Quarantine's hit, the virus, all of this fear that's being propagated everywhere. And it's like, how are we keeping our play up? How are we keeping our pleasure up when we're more locked inside and not able to go outside and have fun and play sports and get active and, you know, do things we would normally have done while we're having fun? What do we do?
Well, I know for myself, having the children actually really go out and garden is such a beautiful place to be with them. And I think it's actually just a beautiful place to be because, you know, we've had to understand that now's the time, right? Now's the time to spend more time out in nature and do all of that beautiful gardening or just being in nature. And I know both of you live in such beautiful places. You probably can touch on that even more so. The need for the human being to be outside, to be grounding and to be connected in that way allows for a shift in the consciousness as well, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it's like a step. It's very interesting, you know, speaking with people and getting the different opinions. And there was a shift maybe to back to simplicity in a way that we're keeping our lives very busy. We are always doing something. We're always, buying something. It's always about, you know, what's next. And suddenly you have this period of time where there is no next. It's just, you know, it's where you are. You don't have many choices or many options. And then how do you find peace in decisions that maybe somebody else took for you, right? And then starting to do things that you maybe never gave the chance to yourself, right? To do, to be out in the garden, to be out in the park, to be enjoying your children, to be enjoying your spouse, to be, the little things that we are always bypassing because of the busyness of lives.
Yep.
And I think now I'm in Cyprus now, which is the different experiences, right? So Vancouver Island, where there is much more nature and people are doing a lot of things outdoors, and then Cyprus, which is at this time very, very hot and very warm. And I was speaking with friends saying that, you know what, when the lockdown was in place and it was much stricter than a lot of other places in the world, people were taking their dogs out for walks. They were going for walks. They were doing this kind of stuff that usually Cypriots do not, or they don't do it as much. Yeah. So, yeah, it gives you a point of pause, appreciation. What am I doing? What is my calling? Maybe. Do I like what I'm doing? Maybe not.
Yeah, I like that. I like where, you know, everyone was given a pause. I think that's a beautiful way to put it, because sometimes we're always waiting for direction. We're waiting for that next thing, you know, that's in our schedule or in our routine. And to be given that ability to have that pause and reflect and then move from that point, That's a beautiful place to be. I think that's, and you're right. You know, I think people really went back to things that made them happy. And isn't it interesting, Chris, that those things are the simple things? They're not the complicated things.
Yeah. I think, though, there is the lesser seen lesson in it all, which is how do we take pleasure and play back into our lives through even the most simplest of things? And it's like, it's not just the simplest of things, but like taking pleasure out of everything, right? We're forced to simplify what we're doing. We're forced to spend more time with ourselves and with our loved ones, with our family and all of this. And we're in a way like faced with this choice of what do I do with this? All the things that I was normally doing to play, to have fun, to perhaps distract myself from other things that were going on in my life, I'm now faced with, what am I going to do with that? And not everybody, I think, is looking at playing with children or spending time with their kids or with their partners as an amazing time. I'm sure a lot of people are not taking any play and pleasure from that, you know, and it's sort of probably it's highlighting that for them, but it's highlighting this all for all of us is how can we find more enjoyment, more bliss through all parts of our life, right? It's this continual, you know, the life struggle, the life challenges, or the notion of suffering is that's where we're spending our energy, is where we're choosing to spend our energy, right? It's a choice. How do you unchoose that? How do you choose something else? It's not necessarily about doing something different, like quitting your job, or not necessarily about that, quitting your relationship, exiting that. It's so much of it is about a perspective. And this is like what we're trying to teach, right? The heart perspective. You can do certain exercises, etc., as we know, because we're doing them and we've done them for a really long time, that can bring the play back, right? That can bring pleasure back, not by doing something different, but it's just how we see it now. We see it differently. We feel it differently. We sense everything differently. So even the simplest of things become fun because it's like it's all play. Work becomes fun. Even though we're doing the same job, it's like, oh, this is cool. It's like, I like it, you know?
It's interesting though, you know, when the whole thing kind of came about, it was a little bit uncomfortable. And from being uncomfortable, then you had to really navigate and figure out, okay, how to work without a schedule, without structure that was given to you or formed by somebody else. And all of a sudden now it's like, you're coming into your full empowerment. And how are you going to navigate this? So it was really, really refreshing. I thought it was really, really refreshing. But mind you, there's a lot of people that were so uncomfortable that they wanted their structure, which was formed and given to them over years and years of conditioning, and they wanted that back because it was so comfortable being there rather than in this newfound, joyous, simple, free for all kind of do what you feel is important. And I know that a lot of people didn't spend a lot of time on television. They didn't spend a lot of time shopping, that's for sure, which was a beautiful thing. And even if you needed some medical attention, it was more of schedule a phone call and just talk about it. Right?
Yeah.
And yeah.
I think, you know, there were so many things at play at the same time, because there is still lots and lots of fear and uncertainty of not just the future, but also the present and all the changes that happened. So I feel that people, you know, lots of people moved through that in a sense of loss of jobs where you know, you couldn't work. So lots of people lost income and all this kind of stuff. But I feel that a lot of the people have found a way. They had to, right? And that's a beautiful thing, that suddenly you see in yourself that you do have the power to navigate to whatever comes and whatever changes come. And that's empowering. And it gives you a new perspective of who you are, of what you can do, of what if, you know, tomorrow everything ends. Okay, what am I doing? Because that was a fear for a lot of people. And it was, in a sense, it was like, everything is over. You're going to stay home for, you know, we don't know for how long. So that was for most people, like a terrible thing, the most terrible thing that could have happened. And yet through these, there were so many things coming out that were beneficial for people, empowering for people. And I'm sure that because of the time that we're living, we're going to have a lot of unpredictable things coming to us. And a lot of changes coming to us. And I also know that we all signed up for this. And we all chose to be here at this specific time to go through it. And I think it comes back to what Chris was saying about joy and playing. We are so driven by the idea of, I don't know, when I have a purpose, I'm going to be enjoying it. When I arrive there, I'm going to have fun. When I don't know, all the limitations to it, that we have forgotten to enjoy the everyday things. The other day I was driving and we were talking about joy and pain and all this kind of stuff. And it was such a beautiful realization in that time that, you know, it's so beautiful. It's so joyous. It's just us, we don't feel joy at each moment. You have everything that is celebrating around you. You have the birds that are singing. You have all the trees that are shaking and making all these sounds. And our world, we live in a magnificent, I don't know how to call it, in an amazing space, in an amazing planet. And we have forgotten to look, to feel happy, to enjoy that. And we are looking for materialistic goals, or I don't know, even in the spiritual realm, you know, when I'm enlightened, I'm going to feel joyous. No, you have to feel joyous to become. So it becomes
a destiny, right? It's always a destiny, that end point. And no one is really soaking up all the beautiful journey. And so they're always looking for that end point.
Your guide, right? That's your guide. Your joy is your guide. If you're doing things that you're not enjoying, then it doesn't mean, and I agree with what Chris is saying, you have to change everything. You have to find the joy in whatever you're doing. In every single thing that you're doing, find the joy.
Yeah.
That's how you're going to move through it.
Yeah. I met a guy recently on this island I'm living on Kauai. And he moved to Kauai when he had, I don't remember what stage, cancer, to heal from that. And I think it was prostate and lymph. And he found himself a place by the beach. And he did have one of the cancers cut out. But he said, like, the thing for me was the key for my healing. And is now, his cancer's in remission and everything's fine. He said the key was finding that perspective and that feeling of saying, yeah, I'm going through a lot of fear, things around my mortality, pain, you know, serious challenges to my health. And he's like, but I'm living on this, the most beautiful place on earth. And he constantly reminded himself of that. And through just that gratitude and that appreciation and I guess that love, right? That love for, you know, despite the fact that all of the stuff was going on, how blessed am I? Yes. Right?
Yes.
He ended up having his lymph removed, but the prostate just naturally healed itself. So he didn't need to get any extra surgery. It just naturally happened. And I think that, you know, for me, that was such a beautiful story about how we can really learn to take, you know, no matter how difficult things may seem, right? And yeah, cancer's probably infinitely more painful than losing your job, but depends on the person. How are they going to perceive that? For some people, that might be a worst case, like losing my job may be worse than getting cancer. I'd rather have cancer. We don't know. But it's just like, how can we feel blessed in each moment, right? And we often don't want to go to that, like, because we're too busy wallowing in a victim of our own sort of, you know, predicament of, oh, woe is my life. This is happening to me. Poor me. Like, I'm such a victim here. Very, very victim, right? And it's not to say shame that, to say, oh, here we go again, I'm being the victim, or to shame another person for playing that role. It's to say, hey, we're the masters of our own change here, right? We have the capacity to find that joy, to find that pleasure, but we got to do it for ourselves. We got to find different things to appreciate life, right? If we can't find one thing to appreciate in life, we're going to struggle. We're really going to struggle, because where's our energy going? Right? Where's our awareness going? It's certainly not to joy. It's not to appreciation. It's not to feeling blessed. But there is something we can feel blessed for. I'm alive. I woke up today. You know, I think that a lot of these people, a lot of people right now in the self-help groups are saying, find and write down 5 things that you feel gratitude for every day. Right? 5 things. And it's like, yeah, I agree to put some more focus on this, not just one time a day, but throughout the day. Like, why not throughout the day?
Yeah, there was a beautiful study done, Chris, in the States. And I'm pretty sure that if someone wanted to get their hands on it, they can. And it's about gratitude. It was a lady who actually... you know, she just recently divorced, she had young kids, and she was all stressed out because she had to move back in with her parents, which she didn't really want to because they were, you know, older. And she volunteered for this scientific study. And what they did is they connected her to all this apparatus and they monitored her. And the first thing they did was they connected her and asked her to write down 5 things that she was grateful for. And so right away, bang, 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 she, you know, she's grateful for her children. She's grateful for having a job. She's grateful for this. All of a sudden, then they showed her the printout and they showed her that just by simply doing this, all of a sudden it shifted her so dramatically because the chemicals that showered within her body were different. Well, guess what? From that moment on, this lady started going for a walk. And she was very overweight, and slowly, slowly, she became a runner. Well, if you go and look at her life and how she changed, it was all because of simply doing one thing differently, doing one thing, incorporating it into her life. And it's really, really interesting because of where we're at today. I mean, I look at you because you keep changing. At any given moment, Chris is going to change. And that's beautiful. And so he's not set and he's not stuck on where he is. And so, oh, that's a beautiful image of Chris. And isn't it how a lot of life is going right now? Nothing is set. Nothing is is structured, nothing is the way that you think it should be, or at any given moment, you're going to have to drop everything and tend to something else. You know, it's no more, okay, well, you know, at 2 o'clock, I'm going to do this. At 4 o'clock, I'm going to do this. At 6 o'clock, I'm going to do this. Because you could wake up and all of a sudden, that whole day that you scheduled, wiped clean. Just like that, Chris. Just like that image of yours. It's so beautiful. And people getting comfortable with not knowing, of just being open to what's coming. Of, yes, I understand. And no more frustration. You know, if I have to drop this, it's okay.
Yep.
You know, I'm getting used to dropping things now. I'm used to, okay, that wasn't going to happen today. And getting comfortable with that reality.
You know, because there's a pleasure we find in the just experiencing the mysteries of life. Now, if we knew everything that was going on, life stops becoming a mystery and everything starts to become boring. It's like there's something really blissful about having a surprise. You know, and some might say, but it's not a surprise like a present, a Christmas present or a birthday present that's all wrapped up. And it's like, it's not a present that I want to open right now. Like, I don't want to open the rest of 2020. You know, and so it's actually, yeah, we're peeling back and saying, well, you know what, I got to welcome mystery back in my life to an extent, let go of some of that control of needing to know what's gonna be around the corner tomorrow or the next couple of hours, and that can be such a beautiful gift to ourselves that, you know, we can actually look forward to unwrapping it.
How are things being handled in your part of the world there, Agathy? I mean, have you noticed any sort of a shift or change within the, you know, in Cyprus as a whole with people?
I think for sure there was a huge shift and, gave a lot of people the perspective of what am I doing, re-establishing whatever, you know, like re-evaluating whatever they've been doing. So lots of changes, even, you know, with the situation and then after. Things are pretty open now. People are almost back to normal. But I think what happened is that part, that space, whatever happened, remained with people. So it was, as I said earlier, like really a lot of realization, also a lot of fear. So I feel like people are polarized, if you like. You know, there are people that are still in the fearful mentality of, you know, what if, you know, it's coming again, we're watching the, you know, mainstream media, whatever they're telling us every day and all this kind of stuff. And then there is another part of the population that they're like, yeah, it's okay, you know, it was, I have people saying, you know, I enjoyed staying home, it was the longest break I ever took from work, so.
Lovely.
That's a different, you know, perspective. And yeah, coming back to different rhythms in their life, appreciating things in different ways, and seeing everything in a very different way, actually. And yeah, it was.
I've noticed that a lot of people went out and started doing things that they had put off forever. Like, I'm going to do this when I retire. I'm going to do this when, you know, they've got these, you know, milestones they have to overcome before they can go and do this. And all of a sudden, it's like, no, I'm going to go and take some art classes. I'm going to take up painting, because when I was younger, that was something that brought me so much joy and pleasure, but over time I didn't keep up because I didn't have time for it. So I found that a lot of people didn't postpone things that brought joy to them. They pulled them into their current reality and said, no, I'm doing this now. And that was beautiful. And I think on a lighter note, the beauty also was reconnecting, but at a different level. Mm-hmm. Just having beautiful conversation with, you know, people, but at a different level. It was a deeper conversation. It was more meaningful. It was discussing all those things that needed to be looked at, explored, and maybe verbalized. And maybe you didn't have that before. You just figured, oh, well, you know, this too shall pass and it'll become whatever. But people were having really beautiful, meaningful conversations. Mm. You know, and I think that there's a lot to be said when people, and correct me if I'm wrong, but when you're having deep, meaningful conversations with people that you had put off having, that's as the heart is opening, you're able to go ahead and let it all out. Right? And what a beautiful place to be able to say, I'm comfortable with having that maybe not so comfortable conversation. Because if I don't have it, I'll never have it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's, of course, you know, you go deeper. There are so many things that we avoid in our lives because of different reasons, difficult things that we perceive are going to be difficult. And then they become even more difficult just because we're avoiding them. So the opportunity to actually dive in and say, you know, that I'm going to do it and now is the time. It's a liberating place and a liberating space. Yes. So, yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, it's been many years now that it's so important to actually have meaningful conversations with people. Otherwise, there is not that kind of energy exchange and you are speaking in a, you know, the same or similar level, then it's just a talk and it's just, you know, losing the energy and all this kind of stuff. Where actually, when you actually speak and there are images, right, that are going through and there are all these energies that are flowing from both sides or from, you know, the group that is having the conversation, then it you arrive usually at this point of, you know, realization, or you feel so connected. It's a totally different energetics when you're having this kind of conversation and talks.
Yeah.
No, and definitely. With babies, it's so much easier because babies are always in that state. So I'm sure Chris has a lot of conversations.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, the it's this return to the inner child that people in the spiritual community keep going back to. And like, there's a reason for that. And it's very easy to know the reason because you just have to look at a child like a baby. And everything is pleasurable to them. Everything is joyful. I mean, teething maybe not so joyful.
but they're honest about that. They're still honest about it. They let you know when teething is not so comfortable.
Yeah, but it is also like, you know, like right now, Aisha is going through teething. She's 7 months old. But I look at that. And I sort of see like that's life's first lesson in terms of everything is about a contrast between joy and pleasure and pain. You know, our bodies are designed perfectly in a way that's supposed to help us encapsulate all of life's experiences, right? And our first lessons of pain come really early, really early. I mean, a couple of months old, and you can't avoid it. You can't avoid the pain. You can't avoid the joy. And like, but as we grow older, we want to avoid it. We don't want to have those experiences of the same teething moments, right? But it's like the universe is telling us this is a critical part of your experience here, of what it means to be human. Pain, teething, you can't avoid it. It's inevitable. So, you know, it's like, let that wave ride and find the joy again. And this is what I see, right? Like I see my daughter, she's like picking up or like licking everything. Just everything is going through her tongue. And, you know, some people might say, oh, but why the tongue? Why the tongue? And, you know, we know when we're in the womb, our first organ that comes about and is sort of created is the heart, is, and then it comes out into the tongue. So, you know, for me, as I'm looking at her, a core part of her experience is being able to have this connection with her heart through her tongue. Like, that's generally her point of awareness. Like, she initially wouldn't reach for something to touch it, to feel it. You know, even looking at something, her eyes, like initially, it's not necessarily that she would look at something to bring her awareness to it. No, she brings her tongue to it. That's where I see her consciousness going, no, I'm going to experience this object with my tongue. Right? That's almost as though it's like saying, I'm taking my heart to this, because like we said, the heart connected to the tongue. And I really only observe this when I look at her. And, you know, every baby does this, uses the tongue to explore things. That's their consciousness saying, you know, for me, I look at that and I see that's Aisha's consciousness saying, I deliberately choose to engage and experience this or this. Or it's like, it's my finger, it's whatever it is, right? It's the toy, it's the fridge, it's the whatever she enjoys labels. So it's like every, you know, if she has a toy, the first thing she goes for is the label. If there's a pillow, if there's a whatever, like clothes, the first thing she finds, she picks up, she goes for the label. I don't know what it is about the label.
I know what it is. It's numerology. It's the numbers on it. It's a sequence. It's the coding on the item, and they instinctively go to that. But you know, Agatha, you probably have some beautiful, you know, experiences, because you know your little guy is a little bit older, but he's also able to express, you know, why, like, what neat things has come about for, I think, how old is he now?
He's almost 9 now.
Yeah, so he must be having some really different experiences, like maybe not being in school. How's he taking to something like that, right? Because kids love their social life with their friends and recess and lunch, and all of a sudden they don't have recess and lunch and friends all the time.
It's a fun, you know, there was a period of time where we were writing down, when he was younger, whatever he was saying, because we were like so shockingly funny. Everything that he was saying was like you were bursting out with laughter. Just the way that, you know, the children are combining stuff. But actually, I have to say, because I thought that it would have been difficult for him, but he was actually so happy being home. He was doing so many things. He was drawing. building Legos, and he spent a lot of time out in the garden. So he was taking his toys in the morning and running into the garden and just playing. So there came a point where, you know, school's open for a couple of days, and I was like, I'm not sure I want to go back to school. He was reading a lot as well. And I said, you know, your friends are going to be there. He said, I'm not sure. But yeah, it was, and that's, you know, the amazing thing with the adjustment of the children and how they surprise you, if you like, because for me, I thought, because he is very social, he would want to be, you know, with his friends. And it's not that he didn't want, but he enjoyed this time. He had his own schedule of the day. Like, he decided what he was going to do, and he was flowing with that. And it was actually, yeah, it was very good. It was a very good time. I think also depending on where you are, I have to say that we are lucky being on the island, in a sense of you have the garden, you have the parks, you have the mountains around. So it was very easy to be out in nature and taking walks and all this kind of stuff. So yeah, it was a good time. He really enjoyed. I don't know how September will be, but
there's such a joy watching kids, such a joy just observing them, the things they say and the things that they do. I mean, for myself, I know I've got a granddaughter and a grandson that are quite young, and I just look at them and I think, wow, how, you know, they look at something that we have forgotten to look at. But they look at it with such awe, with such incredible connection. And I look at them having that connection, and I can almost energetically feel that. And it brings so much joy. I mean, let's face it, you know, you take a little bubble, you know, you know those little bubble things, you make bubbles. So this morning I was babysitting and I made these bubbles, and they're chasing these bubbles. You can do that for like 3 hours. You could just keep them chasing bubbles for 3 hours. And I'm like, this is life, you know, seeing everything through the eyes of a babe and listening to the little ones. So beautiful. So incredible.
Yeah.
You know, so
I remember a time that my son was maybe 2.5. He said, yeah. What season do strawberries come? And I said, summertime. And we were in the car, and it was winter, right? But it was a nice day. It was a sunny day. So he's asking Daniel, he's saying, there is sun. Is it summer? And I knew where it was going, but Daniel didn't hear the conversation prior. So Daniel was like, it's almost summer. You know, it's a very nice day. It's warm. And he turns to me and is like, can I have strawberries now?
I love it.
Just the way, you know, it's true, because this is what we do. It's just that we have bypassed, because it becomes automatic for us. But the way that you combine, you know, the thought, the action, the idea, and then you come to a conclusion. You know, when you're watching it through a child, it's just so pure, it's so beautiful, and you're laughing. It's so sweet and innocent.
Yeah.
But we've been doing the same thing, right? Due to our experiences, our perceptions, you know, we have been doing the same process in our mind. Arriving, you know, to the conclusion because of what we know or what has happened and all this kind of stuff. So I think our children, it's so important and imperative that we learn so many things or remember things that we think that are set, that they're not. And they're teaching us, taking us back to seeing ourselves for sure. I know Chris's daughter is a bit, maybe too young. But there comes a point, you know, where you're, you know, they mirror you. They mirror everything you're feeling. It doesn't matter what you're saying. So it's a huge lesson and a huge experience, you know, growing children and seeing all the things that maybe we have not noticed about us.
That's right. That's
right. And then they're there in that pure little face that's filled with love, and it's imitating you. You are the, you know.
It's so beautiful.
It's just an amazing thing.
Yeah, no, it's definitely, I mean, I could not go back to licking everything, Chris, but I enjoy watching them do that because they have a certain curiosity and pleasure out of everything that life has, whether it's eating sand or you wait until the little one actually gets to step on grass. And they're in awe because what is this? What is this green stuff under my feet? And you're like, wow, you know, talk about a beautiful connection.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it is an incredible, incredible thing. But I find it's also animals too. Like I could watch my cats for hours just doing absolutely nothing, just purring, and it'd be like, oh wow, you know. Yeah. It's and I know in Cyprus there were so many cats just lying all over the place. It's like, yeah. what virus, I don't care. It's like just, you know, just running around, like,
yeah
playing.
They're still here. It's the island of cats. And it's interesting looking at the, you know, the whole way of doing. They're sleeping, they're cleaning themselves. It's just so beautiful and pure and amazing.
That's why cats are such mystical animals, right?
Yeah, because we're not mystical anymore.
Right. No, well, you know what, it's been an awesome conversation, just getting back to the simple things in life, and I just want to thank both of you for sharing with me, because it brings great joy just hearing someone else's understanding of life and where we're at and where we're going and how we're navigating and moving forward. So I will definitely be observing the little ones more consciously even than before. That's my big takeaway from today's conversation. So thank you both for that.
Yeah. And, you know, like the school really teaches, you know, some people might think, oh, it looks all so serious. Yeah, this, you know, our teachings and doing meditation and sitting, you know, doing all of these practices and exercises, all that sounds so serious. But in actual fact, it's so fun. Like all these different heart imagery practices, imagination and dreaming is like, it's one of my favorite times of the day, is like dreaming or daydreaming. As a child, I just daydreamed the whole day and the whole day would be gone, you know, but they're so fun. And so it's like there's a perspective that meditation and you know, some of these tools that we use can be very serious, but there's a very playful, fun aspect to it too. If there wasn't, we wouldn't find ourselves returning to this inner childlike perspective, right? But our school does have a whole bunch of different techniques taught through the workshops that our teachers give, through one-on-ones and through books of Daniel that help us with that perspective, like reset the mind. How do we get back to that inner childlike state, to that playful? How do we take pleasure from everything again, right? If I'm unable to sit in a spot and actually feel gratitude, that's really normal. you know, I said, it's unfortunate, but it is very, very normal that that's the way it is. And we don't prescribe to people like just make five tips on what you feel, not five tips, but write down five things that you're grateful for every single day. Our tools and techniques are, you know, a little bit, not a bit, I don't know what the right word is, not deeper, but different. It's not like necessarily affirmational style exercises, right? They're, yeah, I would say like more mystery school or more, more esoteric perhaps, but not difficult, like super easy. So, you know, like my experience of the exercises taught by our school was just really playful. And so, yeah, it helped me a great deal in coming back, getting in touch with that inner child again, finding the play. And so I would...
There's a lot. Yeah. There's a lot to be said about incorporating things in your everyday life in every moment, rather than to be more structured and ritualistic. And it's in that joyous moment, in the observation of everyday moments, that all of a sudden you're starting to do that practice. Instinctively, you're doing that practice, which, you know, you were initially taught by the school to, you know, have it so you incorporate these small steps into your everyday life and have it so that it's a part of who you are. And I think that's where you know, the school of the heart is so different than everything else. Because even as a Kundalini yoga teacher, as much as the postures are all postures that they studied babies back in the day, they had numbers of people that were studying babies and the different postures they were holding. And now they've become our structured yoga postures because there's benefits. But now imagine that you could take certain teachings and incorporate them throughout the day as a part of who you are, rather than a set structured time that you're going to do A, B, C, D, E. And I think that's the beauty of it, is to really be able to come into the teachings as a part of your life all the time. Rather than, you know, people meditate, they take out time, and this isn't to discount anyone who's taking up, for instance, meditation. Yes, there is a formal way of starting to learn how to meditate, but at some point your life should be a meditation. And that's the speed up process I know for myself with the School of the Heart. Really keeping it light, keeping it fun, and making sure that there is something that you're doing that is incorporating those technologies and understandings.
Yeah.
For me, it's a lifestyle. It's a way of being that it comes in your life. You choose to have it in your life, right? And then you suddenly live in a different world. And I want to say it because it's not a metaphor. It's not... Your perception of life is so different. If you meet people that you knew 20 years ago, you realize that you don't see the world in the same way anymore. You see a totally different world because of the different practices, because of the connection you have with yourself, because of the pleasure you find in the small things that usually people bypass. And it should be, it's a calling. You should meditate when there is a calling to meditate, when it's a time you're called to quiet down, to go deeper inside. Or heart imagery, it's an amazing, for me, it's just so fun. I love heart imagery. It's so easy and it's so fun. And I do it with children and I do it with adults and I do it with, you know, with anybody. And it works with everybody. And it's just so simple and nice. And it works. in many, many different ways. So I have to say that for the School of the Heart, for all the teachers of the School of the Heart, for all the students of the School of the Heart, I'm just so happy that we are in a position today that we can share all these beautiful things that used to be hidden. It used to be very hard to find this kind of stuff. And today it's everything, you know, we have everything online, you have internet, you can send a message to a teacher and you can do an online session, a private session. And it's just so easy today. The only thing that you need is that step, which is a huge one. The decision that I'm going to do it. I'm going to take this chance and I'm going to do this in my life and I'm going to make this change in my life. And then the moment you open the door or the window or whatever that is, it just comes flooding in and you can't go back. The world cannot be the same once you know more about yourself.
And it's beautiful. And it's absolutely magnificent that there's no holding back. You know, I've been through a lot of programs, much like many of the people out there. And there are the individuals that hold things back and, you know, in hopes that they don't lose you as a student or as a client. And trust me, there's no holding back here. You get everything. And that's another beauty that I think speaks volumes to anyone that's out there on their journey. And Chris, I just love how you keep morphing energetically. It's just, it's beautiful. Let me capture that moment. It's like a fleeting moment. Chris is now.
He's with us and he's not, and he's in other planes as well.
Yeah, it's a very interesting time for my video to be morphing.
Yeah, it's very interesting for a lot of people to watch you morphing.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe Zoom will come out with a morphing filter after they see this.
It will be a new setting.
A new setting that they can.
Yeah. I
not
love
the,
it.
It's more artistic. Fancy backgrounds. Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
thank you so much. It's so beautiful seeing both of you.
Yeah.
What a wonderful conversation. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. And to all our listeners, thank you for tuning in. And you can reach us at theschooloftheheart.com. And reach out to us, connect with us, and comment on what topics you'd like us to talk about in future. If you have questions, comment. That's it.
We invite all.
Yeah, and you know what? And the most important thing is that if you can definitely share and spread the word, share with your loved ones, your friends, your colleagues, because it's beautiful work. And, you know, this is our service to humanity. And the only thing we ask of you is if you can share this with your friends, family, loved ones, and anyone else that you think may be interested.
Beautiful. Thank you.
We love you all.
Love you.